The New York Knicks went 1-1 this week and showed you just how great they can be versus the Indiana Pacers. We'll go over this past week, what we like and what needs to improve. And of course, we'll look at the week ahead. Also, trivia.
Let's run that intro. They're playing
basketball. Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered. Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? I'm your host, Anthony, joined by my podcast co-host, Chris. Appreciate every single one of you joining us on this Sunday evening. Another Knicks Weekly that we're going to talk about this past week for the New York Knicks. Appreciate you guys joining us. Chris, what's up, man? Two games down. Can't wait to talk about this week as well. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Happy that Knicks basketball is officially back. Like you mentioned, two games down. Knicks go 1-1. Obviously, his game against Boston did not go the way we wanted to. But we kind of gave a little bit of that same energy to the Indiana Pacers and simply blew them away at MSG. So I'm excited about that, man. I'm excited about my Knicks. Ant, how are you feeling tonight?
Feeling good, man. Excited about what we saw in Indiana. Once again, appreciate you joining us tonight. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. If you're on the audio and audio side, please leave us a review. It really helps us out on that end. If you guys wanted to become a member for only $4.99 a month, you can do so on the YouTube channel. But yeah, Chris, look, we got our doors blown off in game one, right? But, you know, in that game, there was kind of little bits and pieces where you can take from and build off of. And look, we got absolutely hammered, but we saw Mikal Bridges had a good second half. We saw, you know, Deuce McBride look incredible. Jalen Brunson looked good. Karl Anthony Towns, you know, only attempted less than 10 shots. He looked good. And then the game versus Indiana seemed like everything clicked, man. I mean, the Knicks starting lineup, you know, in that game especially, and well, I'll have the graphic here in a second, but everyone played their role. Everyone played well. And that's against the Indiana Pacers. Last time we saw the Indiana Pacers, they sent us home. You had the Tyrese Haliburton wearing that choking Reggie Miller hoodie. And, you know, he was 0 for 8 in that game. So, yeah. But, yeah, Chris, that Indiana Pacers game was incredible, in my opinion. It really was.
Yeah, and that hoodie by Tyrese Haliburton has obviously come back to haunt them because, like you said, he put up a big dud in that game. But, yeah, man, going back to the Celtics game, you know, the funny thing is about that game, it was kind of a little bit misleading. Obviously, we got the doors blown off of us, but the Knicks were shooting about 59%, I believe, throughout that game. So the Knicks actually were playing really well offensively. Just the Celtics did not miss from three. But going forward to the Indiana Pacers game, I think you saw what this offense is capable of. And I think they could be even better than what they showed us. But my biggest takeaway, and everybody knows I've been concerned about Mikal Bridges in the preseason. Yeah. Mikal Bridges has been phenomenal to start the season. So that kind of puts me at ease. But overall, I like what I'm seeing from this team. And look, they still have they're still going to need more games to gel. But so far, so good.
Yeah, speaking of Mikal Bridges, look, in that game, 21 points, 5 assists, 8 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. We can all shut up about his shot, right? I mean, he pretty much shut us up in the second half versus the Celtics. And in that game, he was, you know, incredible. He looked like Mikal Bridges. You know, he looked like Brooklyn Nets Mikal Bridges. And we all know him to be a good post-up player, good three-point shooter, especially a great corner three-point shooter, underrated in that aspect. But, you know, I said this coming into the season. He is the one player who I want to really take the helm. You know, if Brunson's getting doubled, if Cat's struggling one night, Bridges is that one player who can, A, create his own shot, and two, drop 40 on any given night. He's shown that in his career. So if the Knicks are getting, like, look, this is the version of Mikal Bridges we all wanted to see. And I know a lot of Knicks fans were kind of nervous because of his showing in the preseason and you know, all the talk regarding his shot. And it just all the negativity after game one, the Nets fans coming out, oh, you traded 5 first round picks for this guy. If he can give you what he gave you versus Indiana, the coming off the curls, the playing with the bench unit, it seems like the New York Knicks are trying to get him more comfortable with that bench unit. And even versus the Indiana Pacers, Chris, in that first quarter, he didn't really do much until that second quarter when he was playing with the bench unit. And that kind of got him going in his groove a little bit. And just watching him play, the possibilities of this offense are endless when Mikal Bridges is scoring 20 to 25 points a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. I mean, look, Mikal Bridges, I was one of them that was concerned, right? Mikal Bridges came into the preseason, had that funky hitch on his shot.
Yeah.
To me, it kind of looked like he went back to his old shot. And I mean, I don't know if maybe you saw the same thing, but for me, his shot looks a lot smoother. The hitch is suddenly not there, or at least I can't see it.
Yeah.
And it shows in the box score, man. He dropped 21 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3. So he was aggressive when he came out with the bench unit. And I also like that they also staggered a little bit of OG Anunoby out there with him with the bench unit as well.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty nice to see. And Mikal Bridges also played through this game in foul trouble, and he was still effective. So, you know, we got players that are capable of, you know, maybe they get into foul trouble, but they're just smart, high IQ players that they kind of know, all right, let me maybe not reach here and there. I'm going to last this game, but I'm still be a force. So it was much needed for me, at least, to see Mikal Bridges have a game like that.
Yeah, it was. And that's more to come, man. I mean, he's such a great player. He is. And like we've been saying, these things take time. And in game two, you know, after game one, I was like, look, this is going to take some time here. You know, guys just got here a few weeks ago. It's going to take some time. We just got our doors blown off. And then the Knicks just showed you their you know, willpower. They were angry. They were upset. You know, they came out versus Indiana with tenacity on the defensive end. Mikal was guarding Haliburton for the majority part of the game. And like you said, he got into foul trouble. And in that game, when he was on the bench, he didn't put up any warm-up gear. Like, he was in his full jersey, shorts. He wanted to get back in this game. He wanted to get back in the game because, you know, he knew he was feeling it. But this is from Tommy Beer. And then next six quarters, Mikal Bridges has scored 37 points, shooting 15 and 19 from the field, including 4 of 6 from three-point range. Bridges is one of just 3 players in the NBA shooting at least 60% from the floor and 40% from deep this season. Jason Tatum and Buddy Hield are among the 2. Yeah, I mean, look, man, more of that from Mikal Bridges. He's a great player, guys. And as time goes on, it's crazy to say because we just showed you that box score. All the starters, even Josh Hart, we'll get to Josh Hart in a bit, but everyone looked comfortable. Cats low post game, Mikal coming off the picks. Brunson looked incredible. Brunson seemed like he had a vendetta. He has a vendetta against Indiana, man. He hates him. Like, you sent us home. Like, I want to beat you. He said, get this mother effer out of here to what's his name.
I love that.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, it has to be, it must have been a big game for Jalen Brunson simply because we all know how it ended, right? You know, yeah. They sent us home. JB ends up, you know, breaking his hand, fracturing his hand, whatever it is, you know, and for him to come out there with that energy, you know, that's why he's the captain, right? That's why he's the captain, firing up our guys, basically telling him, hey, let's get the body back for this guy right now, because I'm carving him up. So shout out to JB, man, who also, again, is starting this season hot, right where he's picking up right where he left off.
He is. No issues with that hand whatsoever. So it's great to see the Knicks click like that on offense. And that's why, you know, a lot of, you know, NBA media and us coming into the season were like, this starting lineup has tons of possibilities, especially on offense and defense, because of what they showed you versus the Indiana Pacers. Appreciate every single one of you joining us here tonight. Salute in the chat. CM, what's going on, Darlene? How are you? Nostalgic, what's going on? Just chopping it up this Sunday evening, talking about the Knicks. Past week, great game versus Indiana. But yeah, like Darlene said in the chat, who was it? Darlene said Bridges played well in the second half versus Boston. Yeah, we kind of, that kind of got him going, and that kind of got his confidence going. So, yeah, I'm just happy that, you know, everything's calmed down now. Everyone's like kind of relaxed a little bit, but I don't know why everyone was freaking out after one game. But, you know, more of the same. And look, the schedule, we got Cleveland coming up. We got the Heat, then the Pistons, I think then the Rockets. So I think our first four games of the season are against the Eastern Conference contenders. And so far we're 1-1, emotional night game one, home opener game two, bounce back game two. Now we see what we can do versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, who I think are undefeated this season, if I'm not mistaken.
They're 3-0 right now, which actually surprised me. I mean, granted, I'm not sure who they've played, but, you know, good start for Cleveland.
Yeah, I think they played the Raptors, and I don't know. I forgot. I know for sure they've played the Raptors this season. But, yeah, so, Chris, I guess we can go to now, like, Josh Hart, right? Josh Hart has... what a tale of, like, well, he hit a 180. Like, this preseason, he was lost. First game, okay, I think he scored like 12 points versus Boston. Indiana, he looked like Josh Hart, man. He looked like the heart and soul of, you know, what he's been providing from us since we acquired him. And look, I was calling for Deuce to start. I guess this is why I'm not a coach. I still want to see those lineups. During the game, you're still seeing Deuce McBride with the starting lineup. Deuce, Brunson, Mikal, OG, Cat. You're still seeing lineups like that. So even though Deuce isn't starting, Tom Thibodeau is still going to that lineup during the game. But Hart looked like Josh Hart. And what I love from Josh Hart versus the Pacers, right, is he was decisive, man. Oh, if you're open, shoot the basketball. If you're open, shoot the basketball. I don't even care that I think he was like 1-6 from three. I actually love that because that's telling me that he's making this quick decisions. He's shooting shooting the basketball when he's open. And you could tell these first couple of games, these teams are going underneath the screens. They're kind of daring Josh Hart to shoot the ball. So I kind of love that. Like, shoot the ball, man. And boy, great game from Josh Hart versus the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, just something to build off of for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, a lot of fans want Deuce McBride out there, or basically anybody not named Josh Hart, right? Because they think the same thing. He's just a liability offensively. Me, I've always said, look, he should be there for his rebounding, for the energy.
Yeah.
And exactly what you said. He was decisive in a way where I felt in this versus the Celtics, he wasn't. You know, in the Celtics game, they were basically kind of focusing all their attention on anybody not named Josh Hart because they knew he wasn't going to be aggressive, pull that jump shot from three.
Yeah.
Versus the Pacers, completely different story. And even though he didn't make most of his threes, he made one, and that's all it takes for somebody to start honoring you from the three-point line, in my opinion. So him doing that and then grabbing the 10 boards, he just looked like the Josh Hart that we've all grown to love. And that's exciting. That's exciting because – we're going to need Josh Hart. He's a big part of this team. And like you said, he's the heart and soul. Only thing is, we did see him kind of limping out there, man. And, yeah, you know, I think he might have hurt his hamstring, but he gutted it out through the game. Concerned about that?
When it first happened in the first quarter, he was grabbing at his hamstring and he was limping around. But then I think he went back to the locker room for a bit, got some treatment, and he had a great game. So I don't know if they asked him after the game about his hamstring. I don't know if I missed anything, but I'm assuming that it's A-OK because 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists, 2 blocks. And the thing I love about the Mikal addition is normally you would have Josh Hart or OG Anunoby kind of on Tyrese Haliburton, right? Yeah. Well, now with Mikal, you can put him on those guards. You can put him on those quicker guards and kind of have Josh Hart kind of like roaming around, guarding the, you know, shooting guard or guarding the, you know, team's best three-point shooter or whoever they have out there paired next to their star. And maybe that'll give him more energy throughout the game because Mikal is – I thought Mikal did a great job against Haliburton. I know it kind of went under the radar a little bit, and he was kind of getting worked against Tatum and Brown in game one. But I think Mikal did a great job against Haliburton in game two. But yeah, Josh Hart just looked way more comfortable. And this is game two. Like we've been saying, this is game two. And if he's looking like this, if he's going to shoot the ball when he's open, not be hesitant, not dribble handoff, not do, you know, the Josh Hart, the things that make you scratch your head on offense. I think, and he was pushing the pace. He was basically just playing like Josh Hart, and that's what we want to see, man. That's what we want to see. So yeah. Shout out to Josh Hart for coming out there and balling out.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to see, man. The more and more these guys play together, the more comfortable they're going to get. And it's just going to be seamless, in my opinion.
All right. Carl Anthony Towns, Chris. So in game one, it was a funky game, right? Funky game. Hey, I think he hit a three versus Celtics. But look, versus the Pacers, the thing I noticed about Cat, right? First of all, the Knicks are using him in a lot of pick and rolls, a lot. They're using him in pick and rolls with Mikal. They're using him in pick and rolls with Brunson, with OG Anunoby. But the thing I love about Cat is his low post game has really impressed me. Even in the preseason, we saw some low post stuff. And versus the Pacers, his first bucket was a turnaround hook shot, low post move. And I know we always talk about his three-point shot, and versus the Pacers, I think like he didn't miss. I think he was, what, 2 or 2 from three, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But that has kind of, I don't know, maybe I didn't watch him enough in Minnesota, but it kind of surprised me a little bit that he's like, the Knicks are using him in that low post a lot, and it's being effective. He's playing really well out there, you know?
Yeah. It does surprise me too a bit, because obviously the first thing, like you mentioned, everybody talks about is, oh, he can shoot the three, he can shoot the three, stretch the floor. But yeah, he definitely has a really good low post game. And I think on the broadcast, they said he's an elite low post player. I mean, yeah. I don't know if I'd go that far, because like you, I haven't seen it as much, but he definitely has some good footwork down there in the paint. So yeah. Again, I just feel that's another opportunity where we can use Cat to kind of put, you know, let the offense flow through him, let him dictate, because I still think he's also a very underrated passer. So if he's drawing double teams down in the paint, you're kicking it out to somebody wide open for a three.
Yeah, and his rebounding. To end the preseason, I think his last three games, he had double digits in rebounding. Once again, first game was fluky, but Pacers, 21 points, 15 boards, 2 blocks. So all these questions we had with the Knicks rebounding, like where would they get their rebounding from? Because, you know, Jew's out of here, Hartenstein's out of here, no Mitchell Robinson. Cat's been a good rebound in his career, but he's been rock solid. He's been amazing. 15 boards, 21 points, efficient night, and setting all of these pick and rolls for everybody. So, you know, he's tired out there. But the Knicks are using him in many different ways. And he's literally like a jack of all trades. He can do a lot of things on offense. He can shoot. Low post game is great that we've seen. His rebounding is great. Even some, you know, he's recovered on a few block shots too. So,
yeah.
Sky's the limit, man. I love what I'm seeing for Cat. Even embracing the Melo was sitting courtside. Even Cat doing the three to the dome with Melo courtside. I love it, man.
One sequence I loved from the indie game when it comes to Carl Anthony Towns was, I think he was backing down Miles Turner. Just backed him down into the paint, hit him with that little turnaround hook shot. And then I think the next play, once we got a stop, came right back down and just drained the three like nothing. And it's just like, damn, this is going to change the way the Knicks play basketball. Like it's, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Because you got this guy now that can score at all three levels. And you're adding him with Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges. I mean, I'm excited. The sky's the limit for this team, in my opinion, offensively.
Look, when all 5 year starters are scoring at double digits like this, Brunson, to me, this was like a perfect picture, perfect game for the Knicks. Because Brunson did his thing. Towns did his thing. Bridges did his thing. And Anunoby got going defensively. I thought Anunoby was, you know, defensively he looked better than in game one versus Celtics. He just looked more engaged. The aggressiveness on defense, the Knicks were, you know, getting up to their man. They weren't sagging off. They were playing with more aggression in game two versus Indiana, and it was bothering them. You know, Mikal was more aggressive with Haliburton. And Josh Hart played an amazing game. And then when you have guys like Campaign, who I love, coming in off the bench, who's like, this undersized guard, but he plays like he's 6'8 on defense. He like he plays with such toughness, which I love. And I just love his fire and passion. And you're gonna need that off the bench. McBride, we all know, great player. Great on defense as well. Sims, yeah, can need some little work. Okporty playing well in minutes. When Precious comes back, obviously Precious will be just in that and bunched in that group. But I thought the box score wise in that game one, everyone just played well. Everyone just clicked. And I didn't think we were going to see a box score like that for another 5 to 10 games, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And versus the Pacers, you made a statement and you just have to keep the ball rolling. Snowball effect onto Cleveland. Do the same versus Cleveland. Take care of home court. And we just go from there, man. But I thought everyone clicked in that game one, Chris, and that's what made me like, oh, okay. Moments like that is like, all right, this is how you know this Knicks team makes it far when the team is playing like that.
Yeah, I agree. And look, this is only game two. So I'm expecting it to get even better.
Yeah.
Once these guys get comfortable with each other. Even the bench unit, once the bench unit starts clicking even better, we're going to be a force, in my opinion. Barring like health and things like that, we're going to be up there with the best of the best teams in the NBA. No question.
Do you feel like we're missing one more piece off the bench? Or do you feel like you like where the bench is at right now? Because we'll talk about the G League draft that the Knicks just pulled off, which was kind of amazing from the front office.
But I do feel like we're still missing one more piece there. Yeah. Obviously, I know Precious is out right now, and he'd probably, I don't know, would you think Precious would be put into the starting lineup at any point?
No. I think the Knicks like him coming in off the bench and backing up Cat and OG. But
even when Precious comes back, I'm assuming he's taking Jericho Sims' spot, right? So I do still feel like we're missing a piece, maybe like a guard or something like that. Shooting guard, small forward type. Yeah. I wouldn't know who I would go out there and try to get though.
I don't know. Maybe that's the Knicks drafted Shamit in the G League draft. They drafted Matt Ryan, a sniper. So maybe the Knicks are just waiting on Shamit. But I think Precious coming back will kind of solidify things. But you know, versus the Pacers, they look good, man. I mean, I know Sims is kind of going through it right now. He's kind of like being the punching bag a little bit. Basically, you know, Okporty has what he's shown us is I think he came in last game towards the end of the game. I think he had two great blocks.
More
energized, man. He just looks good, you know. Yeah. And we've been saying this, like I would like to see more Okporty out there. But, yeah. I don't know when that's going to – I don't know if that comes. But if he keeps taking advantage of his minutes, like Deuce McBride told him at the end of the game, he said, look, I know these are – like where the game is won, but these are the minutes that Tom Thibodeau watches, and these are how you earn your minutes. And Okporty, in my opinion, at the end of the Indiana Pacer game, he looked good. And, you know, I don't know how long the leash is with Sims. And we need Sims because we don't have Precious, so you kind of need to throw him out there. Yeah. But when Precious comes back, I don't know if Sims is the odd man out. Maybe he can give us 5 to 10 minutes off the bench, or maybe Okporty can take that role. But it's good problems to have. You know, it's good. It's good that we're talking about Okporty looking good and whatnot. But what do you say to that?
Yeah, look, I like Okporty. I like his energy. He had two insane blocks where he probably had no business even getting those blocks. But, you know, he's showing – he kind of reminds me of Mitch when Mitch was younger, just flying around the court and, you know, swatting the basketball and, you know, getting these crazy blocks. Granted, I know he only played 6 minutes, but it was impressive to see that from such a young guy who's considered an extremely raw prospect, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you want to see. And then, you know, I get it. I get Sims as, you know, kind of the punching bag, like you say. But, you know, there's a reason why the Knicks staff likes Sims. There's a reason why Tibbs likes Sims a lot. He's just, you know, it's not flashy. It's not going to look pretty.
Yeah.
But he's most likely going to be in the spots where he has to be. It just doesn't look great all the time. And it's easy to kind of say Sims is the issue or Sims just get him out of there. But, you know, he's steady. Sims is steady. So I don't want to hate on Sims too much. But, you know, on the flip side, when you see Hakpoorti out there doing what he's doing with his limited minutes, kind of you can't help but say, hey, let's get a little bit more of a look at that guy.
Yeah, it does, man. I love Hakpoorti, man. And John brings up a good point in the chat. I have to remember, Hook hasn't played any real minutes yet. We would have to see him against other teams, yeah, rotational guys. Dib's going to give about 20 to 30 games before he thinks about switching anything up. Excuse me. Hey, you would think so, but Sims, I don't know. Knicks have said they spent a lot of development time with Jericho Sims this past summer. And I want Jericho Sims to take a leap, but I when you have Ariel Hakpoorti showing you what he did in the preseason, then showing you a little bit of glimpses versus the Pacers, you kind of want to see that guy play more. You kind of want to see what he has. And he's a bit of a raw prospect, but it seems like summer league, he had tons of chemistry with Kolek. And during the preseason, he just looked polished, man. His hands around the rim were great. His instincts were great. He could finish around the rim. Dunking on people, which you love. Great pick and roll player. So, I don't know. I want to see that more. I do. And if we're seeing it, you know, the Knicks coaching staff is seeing it. But I think they're going to give it some more time until they make the switch. Until Hakpoorti can overtake Sims. Maybe Precious comes back and that's the case. But, hey, this either way, right?
Yeah.
It's great. We've been talking about the Knicks being the lack of bigs. You know, they need size. It's good that you have Hakpoorti coming in here and showing you glimpses. It's good that you have him showing you what he's capable of. And shout out to the Knicks, man, for finding him. I think he was the last pick. Yeah.
I was just gonna say that. Like, this is another player. And look, I know it's early. We don't know how his career is gonna turn out.
Yeah.
But another player that the Knicks are uncovering deep in the draft. I think they call him Mr. Irrelevant, right? It's the last pick. Nobody thinks of this guy is ever gonna do anything. But
he's
showing us a little bit something, Hakpoorti, that is. And as far as Sims, you know, you mentioned the Knicks investing in him, his development, especially this past offseason. I want to see some of the stuff you were working on. You know, granted, I know he's not going to hit a turnaround jumper in the middle of a regular season game, but show us a little bit of something, you know, when you get the opportunity. So I think Sims is, you know, he's going to dictate, you know, whether somebody else comes around and kind of takes his role from him.
He is. So great game that we saw from the New York Knicks versus Indiana. More of what the same. Are you surprised that it happened that quickly? Are you surprised that Mikal look great? You know, since all the, you know,
I am always
about his shot.
I am surprised because I was one of the guys freaking out about it. I was like, you know, maybe it's just preseason. He's just playing around or something or just tinkering. But yeah, look, I am surprised. And it put me at ease. It put me at ease to see him just draining mid-range. And then when he hit his three-point attempts as well, I was like, all right, that's the Mikal Bridges I thought we were getting from the jump, and we are getting from the jump, really, if you think about it.
That game just made me, like, so excited to see what's to come, because the Knicks are so talented. Their starting five is so talented, right? And when you get your pieces back, like Mitch coming back, Precious coming back, Shamit, who they think can make it back with his shoulder injury. When you get those pieces back and maybe you make, you know, I know this is down the line, but if the Knicks decide to make a trade during the trading deadline and kind of maybe bolster the bench a little bit. But the starting five is just so talented. And Mikal, like, I always thought that Mikal was kind of like, I don't want to say X factor, because I know OG and Anobi is kind of like the main guy that kind of like makes things work defensively, makes us play great as a defensive team, and the record with him is insane. But when you have Mikal on offense shooting like that, playmaking like that, hitting his mid-range jump shots like that,
yeah,
and doing his little celly with the, like, just balling out. Like, that's what gets me excited about the future, because he's such a great player. And when you pair that with Brunson and Cat and OG, I get hype. And I just love what we saw versus Indiana. And just shout out to Mikal, man, for real. And I know his shot, like, but the thing about Mikal, right? Every before every game, somebody posts a video of his shooting motion. Just standing, shooting motion, and it's slow, right? And everyone's like, oh, his shot's broken. You know, what are we going to do about this? And then during the game, it looks smoother. It looks better. He's a professional, yeah, man. He knows what he's doing. So just can we please end the Mikal shot situation? The whole hoopla around his shot. Let's end that.
I just think everybody knows what happened to, like, you know, Markelle Fultz, where he just lost his jump shot completely, had to rebuild it from the ground up, and basically wasn't the same player he was coming out of college, not even close, until recently, right? He's looking more like himself. I think a lot of people kind of were like, did that just happen to Mikal Bridges as soon as the Knicks acquire him?
People were freaking out.
So, look, I think this indie game puts all of that to rest. And like you mentioned, man, when Mikal Bridges is playing like that, you have, you know, Jalen Brunson playing a strong game of basketball, still doing Jalen Brunson things out there. And then you got Karl-Anthony Towns, right? Able to stretch the floor, shooting from three, showing that low post game now as well. Look, this like I said, this team is just going to be a force, man. And it hasn't even been 10 games yet that they've played together. So it's going to get better and better.
It is. It's been two games.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah, likewise. Sorry to cut you off. But, yeah, I'm excited too, man. I'm excited. I truly am. Shout out to the boys, man. Shout out for them responding to the noise, coming out. And answering the bell first the Pacers taking care of home court, because, you know, that's very important. And it's just like John says in the chat, this team is just going to get better and better as the season goes on, and, you know, healthier and healthier as the season goes on. But, you know, love what we saw from everyone: Mikal, Cat, Brunson, Josh Hart, Ananobi. One thing I noticed about Ananobi, Chris, in that game, I think he put his elbow. Tape back on. Not sure if that's kind of, you know, precautionary, but a little crazy. Anthony noticed that during the game. I don't think he had it on in game one, if I'm not mistaken. But his shot looked good. He looked good.
Let's hope it's just a precautionary thing. I highly doubt that, you know, something's going on there, but, you know, maybe he likes the way it felt. Maybe he got used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, yeah, man. Appreciate every single one of you. Kind of reset the room a little bit, talking about, you know, this past week. Knicks have, you know, tough games coming up. Cavs, Heat, Pistons. Just got to keep taking care of business. Love what we saw last week. Love what we saw from the bench. And just keep growing. You know, that's the end goal. Like the guys that were saying post-game, you know, take its and bits and pieces from every game. Learn from it. Got a bunch of learners on the squad, too. You know, got a bunch of workers, hard workers, and, you know, you got to love that too. Cat seemingly to him, he loves New York, man. He's embracing it, doing the shimmy after every three. The Melo three in front of Melo. Low post game is elite. Just your great garden moment for opening night in game one that the Knicks had. And hopefully we can replicate it versus the Cavs. And let's go. Cleveland playing well. It's another tough test. And I love it. Right off the gate.
Heck of a schedule, you know, that the NBA put together for the Knicks to start, right?
I know, right?
But, you know, Jalen Brunson owns Donovan Mitchell, so I'm expecting more of the same. You know, I know we don't got Mitch, and Mitch obviously plays well against the Cavs, but I'm thinking it's a dub for us.
Likewise as well. Yeah, Mitch owns Cleveland. Mitchell Robinson's own Cleveland. Mitchell Robinson said he's not going to come back until he's 100% healthy. I think he was on an Instagram live. So, hey, I don't want you to come back until you're 100% healthy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't, you know. But this is from, so the Knicks had a G League draft, Chris. And they traded up. I think they had picks 1 and 3. They traded up to pick 2. And this is Shout out to the Knicks front office for kind of working the cap. They're up against the second apron. They're still in the first apron. I think they have 3 open roster spots, if I'm not mistaken, still. And so what they did was they draft Landry Shamet and they draft Matt Ryan, who was rumored to come to the New York Knicks. Sharpshooter Matt Ryan, kind of like, I don't want to compare him to like a Steve Novak, but I think he shot like 44% from 3 last season, some crazy stat like that.
Yeah, he's a sniper.
And this way, the Knicks can kind of watch Landry Shamet's, you know, progression. Hopefully he can, you know, work through that shoulder injury and get back in time. It's just shout out to the front office for working their magic in the G League draft. I didn't see this coming at all, but just another kind of like loophole for this front office that they found.
Yeah, that's I didn't think they could. I didn't know you could do this, to be honest. So shout out to the front office. Like, they're just finding ways to be creative and keep adding pieces, because we heard the rumors where the Knicks wanted to add Matt Ryan, and we were just like, how? With what money? How are they going to sign this guy?
Yeah.
And I guess they found a way through the G League draft. So, you know, you got to give kudos to this front office. They're basically finding any loophole they can to find ways to improve the team.
Yeah, they are. And they also, I think they acquired the rights for TJ Warren again, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, they're working the cap, man. They're working around that second apron. You don't want to get into that second apron because you get a lot of penalties. I think the Celtics are going to pay like a crazy fine because they're up against a second apron. I think it's like hundreds of millions of dollars or something like that. Yeah. So they have this great team, but they're going to pay for it. And the Knicks are trying not to get to that point, lose draft picks here and there. So Shamet, when he's healthy, I think will be in the rotation, should be in the rotation. He's a good, for what the Knicks ask him to do, like running off pick and rolls, running off threes and whatnot, he's a good player as well. So shout out to the Knicks front office for doing that. And yeah, I mean, welcome to the Knicks. G League, Matt Ryan and Landry Shamet.
Yeah, I think Landry Shamet is going to be, I think that's that missing piece, to be honest, off the bench. Because he played so well with that second unit in the preseason. And it's just a shame that he got injured. But, you know, it could also be Matt Ryan as well, right? Another guy who can, you know, post him up at the three-point line. I'm not going to front. I don't know what else he can do. But could be something like that as well.
Yeah. It could be. It could be for sure. Just got to wait and see regarding that. Upcoming schedule for the New York Knicks. They got 3 games this week versus the Cavs, at Miami, at the Pistons. So we're home again versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Another great test for this Knicks team. Another Eastern Conference contender that has been playing really well. Donovan Mitchell and co. Evan Mobley has been playing really well for them. And look, another test. Get it done at home. Take care of home court. At Miami, it's always a tough game going down to Miami, you know, it's always tough down there. And but I think, what do you think this week, Chris?
I'm gonna say I actually think we're gonna get that Cleveland game, we're gonna get that Miami Heat game, and I want to say we get this Detroit Pistons game, man. If we're playing the way we played against Indy,
3-0, let's go.
I'm taking 3-0. I'm taking 3-0, man.
Yeah, I got three and 0-2, man. Just get that Cleveland game. I think we can do it versus the Miami Heat. They always seem to get up against us. Like,
they've been struggling to start, I feel like. I know. I think game one, Jimmy Butler and Bam basically didn't score over 20 points together combined. So, you know, there's a lot going on in Miami, in my opinion.
The D Wade statue that they unveiled tonight that was does not look like D Wade at all. But yeah, 3-0. Let's do it. Then you 4-1 on the season, right?
That's awesome. I take
and then,
that.
And then you go to Houston. So,
yep.
Sign me up for that, man.
I think 3-0 is very realistic.
So these first 2 games, Chris, what stood out? I got a poll in the chat, right, in the YouTube chat. 33 votes. What stood out to you this past week? The Knicks offense, Cat's low post game, Bridges comfortability, or the bench play? What stood out to you, Chris, if you were to vote on these 4? Or you can just do all of the above, honestly. I just gave you guys some options to, you know, what stood out to you?
I'll say the bench play, yeah, because that was a big concern for a lot of people. And Deuce McBride has been a bright spot, as we expected, you know. But he started this season lights out shooting, showing us that he's able to, you know, be a little floor general out there when he's creating for other guys. And he's the way that he's improved is insane. Like, you're talking about a guy who cannot stay on the floor for like a minute or two to now he's getting, you know, minutes down in crunch time. And the Knicks just, you could see they trust this guy. They trust this guy. Great defender. And he's becoming a great shooter, especially off the bounce.
Deuce is amazing, man. I love Deuce. I truly do. And it's on it. I think it's the contract we have him on. Those of you in the chat who haven't seen the contract, it's like 3 years for $12 million or something like that. And
it's almost not fair.
Right? It's almost like you kind of just want to like go back to Deuce and be like, look, man, I'll give you more money, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that we got you for this deal. But when you have an expensive team like the Knicks have, you need contracts like Deuce, like a Mitchell Robinson. You know, you need kind of like contracts like that that you can fill your roster with. And he's amazing, man. I love Deuce. I truly do. If I was to vote on one, I would vote on them all, honestly. I know that's like a cop out answer. I don't know. I think I kind of would vote on the Karl-Anthony Towns' low post game because I just love the way the Knicks are using him. You know, like I said earlier, a lot of pick and rolls. His low post game has impressed me. You know, hook shots, just looking like a true center, like a true stretch five center who can do it all. And that has impressed me. I know it's only been one game, but we've seen it a little bit in the preseason. And Bridges as well. I mean, for him to have that second half that he did versus Boston, get his shot back, get comfortable again, and carry that over to Indiana defensively and offensively, I think that bodes well for him. And so, yeah, I guess I'll vote on those two. I guess that falls in the Knicks offense too.
Yeah. I mean, look, for me, I like the bench unit. I like what I'm seeing out of Campaign, even though he hasn't shot the ball well per se, but I love the energy off the bench. I love the way he defends. He's just a gritty player doing all the things you want from somebody coming, giving you that energy, right?
Yeah.
More reason why I say Josh Hart, you know, although people want him on the bench to give that energy, I think you're getting that from Campaign. So I think that's huge. I think that's another huge signing for us off that bench. And it also excites me, the young guys, man. Like Daddy A got like a few minutes out there. I know he didn't do too much, but guys like Porty, you know, showing defensive prowess. Only 6 minutes, but the bench is impressing me, man. And then these young guys too. Like we've seen flashes in the preseason as well. You know, some of these guys are gonna be, you know, pushing some of these rotation guys for minutes, in my opinion. And you heard MSG. They were calling for Tyler Colley to come off the bench, man. And you know, I thought that was pretty damn cool.
I love they were
rookie chanting that kind of love, man, like that.
They were chanting his name, and I love it. And I'm happy you brought up Daddier because it was rumored that he was going to play in game one. You know, Knicks are down a few guys, and, you know, 19-year-old kid, you know, he played well in preseason. And what's Tom Thibodeau's kind of – what's out there regarding Tom Thibodeau? He doesn't play rookies. He doesn't play young guys.
Rookies. Yep.
And he played in game one. And, you know – it's only up for Daddier. I truly do. He has all the tools to be a really good NBA player. You know, he's probably still growing. I think he's like 6'8". But look for him to get more playing times in certain situations. And shout out to Thibs for playing him, honestly. Yeah. Because it's early on in the season. And for him to notice, like, look, you can't shrink these rotations yet. You have to go. You see Golden State, I think their first game, they played 12 guys. I mean, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, you kind of don't want to stick to a 10-man rotation. Not 10-man, excuse me, a 9-man like an 8 to 9-man rotation when you have Precious out. But you kind of have to expand your rotation. So shout out to Dibs for playing Daddy. It didn't play that much, but just seeing that from Thibs, I liked it.
Yeah, not only that, I think it shows, you know, how hard Daddy 8 is working, because I don't think Tibbs even considers doing that unless he, you know, Daddy impressed him. So, you know, just again, a testament. This kid got drafted, said, I don't want to be a stash. I want to be out there with the team. I'm going to make the team. And he's doing what he said, you know. He's doing what he said, and it shows that he's working hard. So you got to love that from Pac-Home Daddy 8.
Pac-Man, Pac-Home Daddy 8. Future is bright for Pac-Man. John says the way the Knicks are set up, it could be someone different every game that can take over. Who do you think will do it versus the Cavs? Who's going to take over?
I got to say it's JB, man, because he's always carving up Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. So I'm going to say Jalen Brunson just because we've seen it over and over again. But it's true. It's true. It's true what John says. It could be literally anybody. It wouldn't surprise me if it's OG Anunoby, you know? That wouldn't surprise me if it's Deuce McBride.
It's funny. We've been like kind of like JB is like we touched on him during this episode, but he's been awesome. I mean, he's just we know what to expect from JB. A lot of the calm night says Brunson. Yeah, Brunson, when he plays Donovan Mitchell, it seems like he always jumps up a gear. I know they're probably not going to put Donovan Mitchell on Brunson, but yeah, I think it's going to be another good Mikal game. I truly do. It sucks that Mitch Ramos is not here. Usually cooks the Cavs, like Keyshawn said in the chat. Yeah. like you said earlier, but I think it's going to be another Mikal game. I do. And if the Knicks can give you this balance on their offense, on their starting five, it could just be their start, another starting five game. It doesn't really need to be one person, and that's the beauty of this Knicks offense. Any given night, someone can give you the business, or on any given night, all five of them can hurt you. And the ceiling is the roof, like Michael Jordan said one time in his press conference.
There you go, man.
But yeah, I think if I was to pin it down, Mikal. But Brunson is on top of that list. For sure. Josh Hart too, like Calm Night says. Josh Hart. Everybody.
Yeah, I'm seeing all types of players. So that's basically, I think, look, give me more of what I saw in Indy. Let it be the whole starting five. Let it be, you know, Deuce McBride off the bench. You know, but, you know, I'm leaning toward Jalen Brunson just because he seems to take it to another gear when he plays against Donovan Mitchell. I'm sure they got some kind of bet between the two anyways.
They probably do. All right. Here's your schedule for this week. Talked about, you know, the schedule, what we expect. Talked about the guys. You want to do trivia now, Chris?
Yeah, let's do trivia.
I lost last week. Those of you just joining, we do trivia every single podcast episode towards the end of the episode. Once again, appreciate every single one of you joining, tuning in tonight. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. If you're on Apple or Spotify, please, please leave us a review. Helps out a lot. On the road to 5K subscribers, too, on YouTube. Almost there.
Hey.
Almost there.
Appreciate all of y'all for that.
All right, Chris. Who holds the Knicks' all-time record for most points scored in a single season? Is it A, Patrick Ewing? Is it B, Richie Guerin? Is it C, Jalen Brunson? Or is it D, Carmelo Anthony?
So look, I'm a big Melo fan, and I know this is D, Carmelo Anthony. But I do have some pause because I could have swore Jalen Brunson got pretty damn close to breaking it. But I'm going to say D, Carmelo Anthony, just because I believe it's still Carmelo.
You're going to say D, Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Final answer?
Final answer. I'm going to go with my gut.
All right, I'm going to go down the list. And you want to start from, let's start from B, Richie Guerin. Richie Guerin, 1961, 1962, played 78 games that season, scored 2,300 points for the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson in 2023-2024. This was last season, Chris. Scored 2,212 points for the New York Knicks. So Guerin still got him.
All right.
Carmelo Anthony in 2013-2014 scored 2,112 points for the New York Knicks. Patrick Ewing in 1989-1990 scored 2,347 points for the New York Knicks. The most points in a single season goes to Patrick Ewing. Sorry, Chris. You got it wrong. Trick question. When I looked this up, it said Richie Guerin. I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea who that was. So it's one, Patrick Ewing with 2,300. Two, Richie Guerin. Three, Jalen Brunson, which is crazy. Four, Patrick Ewing again. And if you go down this list, right? So let me share my screen with you guys to go down this list together. Which is kind of crazy. Just look at this list.
Keyshawn says, with no three-point line. Yep. That's crazy.
Bob McAdoo at number six. Brunson number three. Melo number five. Bernard King number seven. Amari Stoudemire number eight. Patrick Ewing again. And again.
And again.
And Julius again. Randle. 1,900 points in 2022-2023.
Julius Randle, man. He's doing all right with the Wolves, man.
He is. Had some good games with the Wolves, Julius Randle. So, yeah, man. Patrick Ewing. Shout out to Pat. Damn. But Jalen Brunson being on top three in this list already, you think he'll break it?
I think so. I do.
Yeah. Because this was last year.
I think he's gonna break it.
Yeah. All right, you got it wrong. Sorry. Womp.
I was on a good streak.
You were on a good streak. All right, Chris. Anything else you wanted to touch on before we head up on out of here? Oh, we got to show the Halliburton graphic, right?
Oh yeah,
I just want to be petty. I just want to be petty. Just have this on the screen. Third time having a donut in his career. Tyrese Halliburton, 0 points.
Can that be the thumbnail for the pod, please?
Halliburton, 0 points?
Yep.
Look, man, you want to wear that hoodie after game one? The Reggie Miller, you want to troll us? We can do it back, man. We can do it back.
That's a brutal game for a Tyrese Halliburton, man. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, I think he had like a game tying three. Tonight, actually, which is kind of crazy, and they lost though. But
oh wow,
yeah, but yeah, who got it right in the chat? Anyone got it right? I don't think anyone got it right.
No, yeah, John said I'm going B. Darlene said going B. I should have listened to chat, man. I jumped the gun, man.
No, it was A. It was Patrick Ewing. A.
Oh, it was A. That's right.
Yeah,
my bad.
B was yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm all out of sorts. I'm saying B.
Right, man. Tough week. I love it, man. Knicks are playing really well. Shout out to everyone that in the chat. I mean, that this Knicks team has shown us versus the Indiana Pacers, the sky is the limit. It truly is. I know it's one game. Don't want to overreact too much, but it's great to see things click like that right away really well. I know Boston was kind of like I don't want to call it like a outlier. It was ring night. Celtics were on a high. Celtics are playing really well. But, you know, this thing was still going to take some time. But versus the Pacers, that was a huge step in the right direction to get to our end goal with everyone clicking so well. And, you know, that's what we want to see out of this squad. And it's good to see that so early on from everybody. It truly is. And let's keep it rolling, baby. Let's go.
It's early, but so far, so good. I like what I'm seeing from the New York Knicks. And let's just hope they keep it up, man. Let's hope they keep it up.
We be in the Cavs, man. We be in them. 2-1.
Yes, sir.
We sweeping this week, baby. Let's go. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.